this is a passion of mine. I mean, this is a hot button.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and it's out of Matthew 7. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, mm-hmm. Lord, and he's going to say, I never knew you. Now, what's amazing, we think those are the guys bellied up to the bar or the crack dealers. Uh-uh. Right. Those are the folks that were busy casting out demons, doing mm-hmm. things in the name of God, and he's going to say, I never knew you. Mm-hmm. Nolan, we have that epidemic across our city today.
Absolutely. And I think we have to, as the church, we have to take some serious responsibility for what we've not only allowed, but even possibly enabled many times. Mm-hmm, in our effort to achieve what we call success, our pursuit has not necessarily been to make disciples, but we've made church members, we've made fans, we've made groupies, and we've done all of the things that actually the world does to try to draw and attract people, and it doesn't resemble at all what Jesus did himself to make disciples.
Now, Jesus wasn't without a compelling and attractive kind of a vibe. I mean, he was full of love. He was full of grace. He spoke the vernacular of the day. He looked at trees. He told stories. He gave food to thousands. Yep. So he was pretty compelling. You're saying, though, that's the beginning, not the end game.
Right. I mean, without a doubt, he was cool and in tune with what was happening in his day. But he was also very focused, very clear on what he needed disciples to respond to. First of all, let's go back to Matthew 28. He says, go make disciples. Making disciples is a lot different than making a believer. Introducing the gospel of salvation is not the same as making a disciple. The first step is evangelism. The second side of that coin is discipleship. When we talk about salvation costs us absolutely nothing. It is free. There's a proposal given. All is required is an acceptance of the proposal. However, when you talk about discipleship, it literally costs you everything. Now, on the face of that, that sounds like a bad thing. But as you go on, I mean, he basically says, listen, if you give me that life that you think is all that, I'll give you a life that's superior to that. Now, you can't see that now, so it's going to require some faith.
It's delayed gratification.
It's delayed gratification, but it's my coming. God, and it's coming. And when it gets there, it's absolutely incredible. In fact, Jesus he put his potential disciples on note. I want to just read this one passage if I can.
Absolutely.
Out of Matthew.
We love passages.
Matthew 8, verse 19. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. He wants to become a disciple. Jesus responded, saying, Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And then, of course, another one stepped up and he positioned another scenario for him. The point of the matter is, he says, this is not going to be a cakewalk. You will not just come to a church, be entertained by this incredible choir, a worship team or worship band, and visit the coffee shop and then, you know, gather around, you know, some donuts with some people and say, how you doing?
Oh, everybody's going to think you're the hippest dude in town.
It's not going to happen. And Jesus put them on notice. Now, I think that's where the church has kind of lost a part of what we have to do to people. We have to let them know that this is serious business. It's going to cost you your life, but the life you will ultimately receive. And even that has to sort of be redefined, because there's been a bit of oversell. And that the thought is, well, once you give your life to Christ, all of your problems are going to disappear. You're going to have this wonderful house, this wonderful marriage, this wonderful job, this wonderful everything. Anybody who's walked with Jesus for 5 minutes knows that that is really not the truth.
That's mm-hmm. a bill of goods, man. Yeah.
That's exactly mm-hmm. right. And so we go through and suffer through these things thinking that something's happened wrong to us because we're experiencing these things.
So what you're saying, Nolan McCants, by the way, our guest right now, founder of and senior pastor of Harvest Church of Plainfield, one of the coolest things about him, named Entrepreneur of the Year in 1990 by U.S. Small Business Administration. What you're saying, Nolan, is we need to give it to them straight up out of the chute.
Straight up. And you know what? the world gives people everything they need straight up to make them achieve the success that they're aiming for. If you go to a company, you become a part of a corporate team, they're not going to sit there and say, oh, yeah, this is wonderful. You get all of these benefits. You get a chance to get the corner office with the windows. And we have coffee every morning. Just show up on time. We'll have a really good time. No, they explain to you that there are some demands that will be placed on you. There are some specific goals and objectives that are required in order for you to retain this job. A disciple has a responsibility to partake in the process of causing the kingdom of God to be made manifest in the earth. You don't do that with toys. You have to have some serious understanding and serious commitment to make that happen.
I love the way that God gives us a glimpse into the life of believers around the world. We know we're commanded and called to pray as though with them in their persecution. Discipleship is costly in many, many, many nations. And I know you have some firsthand experience with this.
Sure.
I'd love for you to talk about what you have learned and how discipleship is costly here in the United States.
Sure. I've done some work in Nigeria where I've witnessed people who were converted from Islam. Who were literally terrified. In that case, they normally will ship those people away for sometimes several years so that they don't face actually death. I also had an occasion to minister at a church where the pastor was a convert from Islam. His father literally took him to court to disown him, to remove his name. And so it's serious business.
High cost. High cost. So that's a picture of what it is for a lot of folks. But we've dumbed down what discipleship looks like. But really, it's not that it's the reward is less. It's that it just we come about it differently.
Sure. And I don't want to paint a picture of martyrdom
and doom and gloom.
That's right. Just on a base level, I think what's important is just to make it clear to people who come to Christ, that there's the expectation that now that you have become a believer, the next step is to avail yourself to becoming a disciple, and then you must then make disciples. The process, however, is one, inconvenient. Two, it's uncomfortable. Three, it's unpopular. Many times, even among believers who are not interested in progressing to the next level of commitment and dedication to the things of God. So they just want you to kind of, stay where they're at, because once that light kicks on, it shows off every darkness around it, which is sometimes present in believers who are not interested.
And that can
forward.
Be intimidating to
intimidating,
them.
Intimidating, very uncomfortable. And it forces you, because once the light comes on, now you have to make a decision. So it's also demanding. I demand the believers attend corporate prayer, that you apply yourself to Bible study. Not me talking to you. A process of learning where you're involved. You're doing homework. You're sharing with others so that you are developed as a believer. Because what we lack majorly, and the problem that we're facing here, particularly in the United States, is spiritual immaturity. Many believers cannot even reference the things they say they believe in Scripture because they rarely pick up their Bible. And shame on some of the churches. Forgive me, but if you're not telling people they need to bring their Bible and follow you in the Bible, that's a problem. It's a crisis.
And the reason it's a crisis is we get people that are dependent on a weekend shot in the arm, and we're really never growing. We're just surviving.
Yeah, if that.
And and that's a big challenge. Okay. If you could say to the person out there right now, because this is what's happening, and there's people out there feeling like, shoot, man, that's me. I'm born again, but I am not a disciple of Jesus. Do two things. Number one, give them the blue sky of what's coming around the corner if you just hang on and lean into this thing, and then a couple of first steps.
Sure. Okay, leaning in. The fact that God has called you to participate in this eternal strategy
is amazing.
Is absolutely amazing. So count yourself blessed, the fact that he considered us, particularly given the fact that we're all cracked. And no matter how mature you are, you find out more and more how cracked you are. So then the grace piece kicks in, and you find that there's literally a divine enablement. God will enable you to do the things that some people are listening now is thinking, oh my God, this guy wants me to go deep. God will walk you into that place and enable you by the power of the Holy Spirit to be way more than you can ever imagine. And as opposed to going to church, you become the church, and in your everyday encounters with human beings, you change things.
But that's where rivers of living water flow, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Your everyday encounters other people, you change things. I think that we talked about this all morning long. We do something small and it touches someone's heart and we trivialize it. I think that happens in discipleship too.
Absolutely. And I think we have to move beyond the doing something and really focus on being what we are, which means many times unconsciously, you're not aware of how you've touched people. But by adopting the values and the principles of the kingdom of God, you are transformed. Many times, it's not until you have an experience that you realize, oh, my God, I've changed the way I responded to this thing at work, the way I responded to my relationships, my marriage, my children. It's not the way it used to be. People watch it, they experience it, and they are turned on to Jesus Christ because of your being.
All right, we got 30 seconds. It takes some energy to be a disciple. Give us two moves quickly that can expend some energy and see some fruit coming right back at us.
You have to find someone that's going to help to develop you. There needs to be mutual submission. I have to give myself as the one making a disciple, which means I may be vulnerable to even my faults and weaknesses. Then the person who's becoming a disciple has to have confidence, trust, and know that if they're working with a person of integrity, follow their lead, become what God wants you to be, and watch your world and the world of others change dramatically.
I love you, Nolan McCants.
Aw,
that's so
sweet.
I love you, man. I really do. I love your heart. So good. He's the founder and senior pastor of Harvest Church in Plainfield. We got a website for him, don't we, Junie? What is that?
Yes. Just visit harvestplainfield.com or find us on Facebook. You can click the link right there to find out more. And there's some little bullet point short things that you can do as well to grow in faith and be disciples.